Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Let's see your pens. Pens. And your bulletins and your lesson plan. Who's the man this morning?
Jesus.
I was at a restaurant the other day, and the waiter leaned over to pour some water, and he was like right here. And he says, "What's up, Pastor Miles?" I said, "What's up, waiter?" And you know how we always say, "Who's the man?" And "Who's the man?"
Jesus.
So I say to him, "Who's the man?" He goes, "You are." I said, "Yo, man, no, don't say that. You get me struck down with lightning." Jesus is the man. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. And then he said, I've been learning a lot. I said, "Need to learn that Jesus is the man." First thing we got to learn, Jesus is the man. We are in week three, our week one, two, three, four of a series on creation evolution. And if you're new, a few things that we can review very briefly. Matter of fact, I'll get to that in a minute. But we are talking about where we came from. Title of our series is called "Who's Your Daddy?" Your daddy is either God or random choice chaos. You are an accident, or God created and designed you for a purpose. Our position is that God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Some of you Christians might not believe that. I believe that. Matter of fact, we did that last week. If you have any doubt whether God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, some of y'all think it was ages and long periods of time, please get the CD. We have no doubt, and we are unwavering in our position that God created the heavens and earth in 6 24-hour periods. We believe the Bible clearly says it 8 million different ways. Science backs it up. Please get the CD in the bookstore. Now, what we're going to talk about today is what God did on day three. He made the plants. He made the dry land. He made earth. He brought earth from up underneath the water. And it may be kind of boring to you talking about plants and the fruits and the seeds and all this kind of stuff, but what I want to do today, and kind of my goals today, is to show the irreducible complexity, the evidence for intelligent design of our planet as it relates to land, water, plants. In other words, when you look at the plants above the ground, you look at the plants below the ground. By the way, where most of our oxygen comes from is from in the water. You didn't know that. That's free, though. You could just put that in your pocket. And that the ocean gives off and takes, the ocean absorbs more CO2 than the plants do. It's unbelievable. Takes it down to the bottom of the ocean. And we're going to talk about how all of it was designed and how it functions in such a way that you have to step back and go, someone designed that. It's not an accident. Matter of fact, at the end of the service, there's going to be a web page up on the screen. Please get this web page at the end of the service. And it's a web page from NASA that shows pictures that they've been taking since, I think, 1995 of things in space. You'll see colors that you almost never seen. And I say almost because they're similar to the colors we know. But there are other colors that and combinations that are just unbelievable. You're going to see planets. You're going to see a picture that'll say it's 120 light years wide. You just can't imagine how big it is. And so it'll prepare you for next week when we talk about all the stars and the moon and the galaxies and the universes. We're going to talk about what God made on day four. On day four. How light from a star 100 light years away got here in one day. You ever think about that? Well, if the Earth's only 6-10,000 years old, how'd the light get here if it's 100 million light years away? Ooh. You ever think about that? Think about it. Talk about that. The reason I'm saying this is because I want you to start thinking and looking at everything with your mind. Don't just take a scientist's word. Step back and go, wait a minute. How come we're the only ones that have liquid water in the whole universe? How come we only have an atmosphere that can sustain life in the whole universe? Why is that? And how does it work? How does it all work in such a way that if it didn't work for a day, it would all die? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's all right here. Okay. Let's look at our lesson plan. Intelligent design. There's some issues. Intelligent design is the evidence of a seen Evidence seen in creation that supports the theory of an intelligent creator and directly opposes the evolutionary view of random chaos. They are evidence of intelligent design. They're evidence of an intelligent creator, designer, organizer in everything that was made. And when you look at it, you say, someone had to figure that out. If you saw this watch on the beach, you would say automatically, someone had to make that watch. You would never assume it was a product of random choice. We want to see that in what God made. Okay? His invisible attributes are clearly seen by what has been made. Ever since the creation of the world, that's true. His invisible attributes, his intelligence, his power, his creativity, his ability to organize, strategize, create, is clearly, plainly seen in what he's made, in what he has made. If you look also in your lesson plan, it says earth anthropic principles. Anthropic principles are principles that uniquely prepare the earth to sustain life. There are certain characteristics of this planet that are laid delicately in balance that enable us to live here. We can't just go to, matter of fact, we can't go to any other planet in the universe and live. Only here. Because certain conditions exist that God uniquely created. Well, it could have just evolved. It was an accident. Well, how come it didn't happen on any of the countless earthly, heavenly bodies out there? 10 billion trillion stars, plus planets, plus moons. It's none of that. The conditions that are here are nowhere else. Coincidence? No. God made it. Okay, let's look at our lesson plan. Let's do a little review here. Genesis, book of beginnings. That's what Genesis means. Beginnings. Day one, we looked at water, light, darkness, day, night, evening, morning. Remember, God said when the greater light, the sun, is in the sky, and when the light is out, it is day. God told us that. We didn't figure that out. He said when the lesser light, the moon, is up and it's dark, it is night. God told us that. It's right there in Genesis 1. He said that he named it evening and morning, not morning, evening, because the Jewish day starts in the evening. Evening, morning. First day, second day, third day. He made light. Light, at the speed of light, time stops. God is light. Only thing he said he was. Light, at the speed of light, time stops. Light is ageless. God is ageless. He's outside of time. Just a little nugget in there. Day two, he made the firmament or the heavens. He separated the water from the waters. He put water on the earth and water above the earth. Day three, today we're going to look at dry land. It's called earth. That's why we call it earth, because he called it earth. He named it earth. Gathering of waters he called seas. We call it seas because he named it a sea. Seed bearing grass, herbs, and fruit trees grouped in kinds, able to reproduce according to that kind. He named them seeds. He named them fruit. He named it grass, herb, and trees, and fruit. He did that. He told us what it was to be called. Okay? Let's look in the Bible. Verse 9, chapter 1. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. I was running on the beach the other day. Anybody ever go to the beach? Run on the beach, do whatever you do on the beach. Next time you go on the beach, look at the water and look at the earth and know that God did this. Made the water over there and the earth over there. That's what God did. Didn't just happen, wasn't always that way. Someone had to do it. Look what it says in verse 10. God called the dry land earth. And the gathering of waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. He said, that's good. Isn't the beach nice? That's good. Isn't the lakes nice? You know, oceans. It's all nice. He made it good. Right? Okay. Verse 11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. An apple tree makes an orange tree. Yes or no? No. Now there's a tree behind me, I was told. Where is it, Matt? Which one is it? There's a tree behind me that has grapes on it. Which one? The grapes? Okay. Anybody, there's grapes on this tree. Oh, no, those aren't grapes. Yeah, these are grapes. Aha! See the grapes? That's not supposed to be there. Grapes don't grow on a tree, they grow on a vine. Amen. So someone who's botanically blind did that. Apple tree has apple seeds in the apple, and they grow apples. Orange tree grows oranges. Peach tree grows peaches. He made it that way. People make people. Animals make animals. Fish make fish. Sharks make sharks. Evolutionists want you to believe that a fish made a mammal and a mammal made a man. Doesn't happen. No evidence of that happening. Bible don't say it happened. And there's no scientific proof or even evidence that it close to ever happened. If they're telling you it's true, it's a lie. There's no evidence of it. We'll get to that when we go to man. Verse 12. The earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God said that it was good. And so evening and morning were the third day. Okay, let's look at our lesson plan. Go through some stuff real quick. God separated the water from the land. Psalm 95:3. For the Lord is the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. And the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Few earth facts. The earth is 196 million square miles, 57 million square miles of land, 139 million square miles of water. 71% of the earth is covered with water. Ironically, that's about the percentage of water that consists of your body. You and I are more water than anything else. That's why you need to drink a gallon a day. You should, about a gallon a day. It will help keep you healthy. It'll keep your skin clean and your pimples off your face and all that stuff you're putting out. Don't do that. Just drink water. Run, exercise, sweat, clean out your body. It's all processed God made. It's all healthy. The moon, key relationships. Turn to Job 38. Job 38. Right before Psalms. Job 38. Job was a man who was a wealthy man. The devil ended up killing his family. All his wealth, which were measured in animals, cattle, sheep, ox, burnt his house down, killed all his servants, put boils on his head, on his body, head to toe, and he laid in ashes. Three friends came to kind of encourage him. They couldn't. Job talked a little bit, kind of figured out why this happened to him, because he thought he was a great guy. Bible says he was a righteous man, blameless, gave evil the Heisman, bam. And so when he started to, you know, why God, why me, God answered him. Now, if you're going through something hard today and you're starting to do this to God, here's what he has to say to you. Verse 1, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. And God said, who is this who darkens counsel with words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. Ooh. Job, why are you talking that nonsense? Sit down, answer my question. Listen to what he says. This is deep. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. If the earth was any bigger, the gravitational force would be so strong that it would keep gases in our atmosphere that would kill us. If the earth was any smaller, or much smaller, the gravitational force would be so small that it couldn't keep the gases in its atmosphere that keep us alive. It was measured so perfectly, and the gas is created so perfectly to be held in our atmosphere to keep us alive. He says, Job, did you know that? Did you measure that? No. Who determined, verse 5, who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fashioned? Or who laid its cornerstone? How does the earth sit in space where it's at? How come it doesn't fall? Where would it fall to? Why is that? Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, the thick darkness its swaddling band. The clouds, you know what a cloud is? Cloud is vapor water clinging to little dirt particles in the atmosphere. If there were no dirt particles in the atmosphere for the vapor, for the water vapor mist to cling to, there'd be no clouds, there'd be no rain. We would die. Little dirt. Didn't know that, did you? Some of y'all, I'm sure, did, but. And a lot of y'all, okay, verse 10. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. When you're on the beach, and we all played this game as a little kid. The beach comes up, you run away from the wave comes up to the beach, you run away, and the waves goes down, and you run up. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You know what the Bible says right there? And God tells it where to stop. If you have your house on the beach, congratulations. If you have your house on the beach, you made it. That's success. And if you have your house on the beach and the wave is coming up, bam, hitting the rocks, and it doesn't hit your house, you need to thank God that he didn't make the waves beat on the rocks on the other side of your house. Okay. He makes them stop right there. Verse 12, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. For the wicked, from the wicked their light is withheld and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea, and have you walked in the search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this, Job. Where is the way of the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the path to its home? When light comes on, where does the darkness go? God knows. Verse 21. Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? Where do I store snow, hail, and rain? And what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt? When you see lightning come out of the sky, boom, and it's all jagged like that, did you make that path? Did I make that path? No. God said, I want you to go right there. Go like this, and then land right there. Ooh. You didn't do that. Verse 26, to cause it to rain on the land where there is no one, and a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass. Has rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice, the frost of heaven, who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. We're going to talk about that, how it says the surface of the deep. We're going to talk about why lakes and water freezes from the top down and not the bottom up. Very specific reason. Matter of fact, if it happened the other way, we wouldn't be here. Now, let's look in your lesson plan. Moon. Key relationships. The moon and clean water. The moon helps create tides. The tides help clean the water by churning the water up instead of having being still. Sun distance, temperature, and carbon molecule strength. Carbon molecule strength. Carbon is basically everything organic, and the temperature range within which we live is due to the sun distance. And that temperature range within which we live is such that our carbon molecules, which hold us together, don't break. God said you can only live about that. If it got too much hotter, too much colder, you would die. You would fall apart. Earth's surface and gravity. I talked about that. The Earth's surface and gravity. If it was bigger, the gravity would be too strong. If it was smaller, the gravity would be too light. We wouldn't be able to live. Seasonal variations in the Earth's tilt and disease. Certain bugs that carry disease only live a certain length of time of the year due to the change of seasons. The change of seasons helps recycle their life so they don't live forever. God's got it all coordinated. Okay, let's look at water. Water makes up 80% of all living things, give or take. You and I are made up of water. People cannot live more than a week without water. Many of the foods you eat have water in them, especially all the fruits and vegetables. They're like 90-something percent water. Many animals that can't drink water will eat fruits that have water in them, which is or plants, which is one of the reasons that they exist, is to provide a source of water and nutrients. Solid form of water is lighter than liquid form. Now, a lot of stuff, things we take for granted, we're going to see in a minute that water is nowhere else in the universe, so it's a very unique substance, and it's everywhere, and we drink it all the time, we take it for granted, but it is very intelligently, ingeniously designed. One of the characteristics of water is that when it freezes and becomes a solid, it is lighter than its liquid form. How do you know that? Just put ice in water. It floats. It's very simple. You see it every day, but you never thought about it probably. Why is it when it's solid, it's lighter than when it's liquid? Usually liquid things are lighter than solid things. Well, God made it that way. If it was heavier, ice would settle at the bottom of lakes and oceans, kill all the plants, kill all the fish, eventually killing all life on earth. That simple characteristic. Let's think about that. Big Bang, everything's a kernel. I don't believe in the Big Bang, but here's a theory. Everything, all the matter in the earth is squashed up in this little kernel. It explodes. Tens of billions of trillions of stars, planets, moons are out there. And on this one earth, there's found a substance called water. Nowhere else is liquid water ever found anywhere else except on this planet. So here we have liquid water. It has all these characteristics. It comprises 80% of everything that's living. It's everywhere. It boils, it freezes, it's gas, it's liquid, and solid. It has all these unique characteristics, one of which is that when it's solid, it's lighter than when it's liquid. And if it was liquid, if its liquid form was lighter and the solid form was heavier, there'd be no life. Where'd this water come from? How did it make itself? How did it figure out that it had to have this interesting characteristic? It didn't, my friend. God made it. They don't even know where water came from. They think it came from a volcano. They think this, they think that. Water is an amazing, amazing thing that we take for granted. And you look at it every day, without it, there'd be no life. There would be, if you stopped drinking water, you would die. Simple as that. You would just die. Water freezes from the top down. Water freezes from the top down. So, if it froze from the bottom up, lakes and oceans would freeze on the bottom first and everything would die. We would die. The other thing about ice on the lake, is that if you have ice on the lake, the temperature above the ice can be many, 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 many degrees below zero. And the temperature below the ice is such that it won't go that low. The ice almost acts like an insulator from the temperature above and the temperature below. Why? Because they are living organisms below the ice. The water keeps them alive. It's unbelievable. Next thing, liquid water is found nowhere in the universe. Liquid water, that is. Comets are ice. They used to think comets were hot balls of fire, and then one flew by real close, and they saw it was ice. Percentage of water on the planet is similar to the percentage of water in humans. The Bible says that a man, a husband, should wash his wife with the water of the Word. When you read the Word, God is cleansing you. Jesus was taking water, I was sitting by a well, and a woman came to get water, and she said to Jesus, "How can I help? Can you help me get water out of this well?" He says, "If you knew who I was, I would give you living water. I would give you living water that would cleanse your soul continually." See, you and I got to keep drinking every day. Water goes in, water goes out. We got to keep drinking, keep replenishing ourselves. Water goes in, water goes out. When God gives you his living water, his Holy Spirit, you have a source of living water within you. That the Bible says rivers of living water will flow from your heart. You ever see people who go through trials, go through hard times, and they still are able to deal with it? They have a peace about them, a joy about them. I had a guy at my house the other day. He got fired from his job 30 minutes before he got to my house. He walked in my house smiling. Peace of the Lord. He had rivers of living water that were flowing from within. And you know what the thing about these rivers of living water? They can flow out of you onto somebody else. In other words, the Holy Spirit can flow through your life The more you submit to him and receive his cleansing, baptizing water, nourishing water will flow and change your life. Give you peace where you never had before. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And then when you minister to other people, pray for other people, encourage other people, share the powerful word of God with other people, that water flows out of you onto them. God does that. You're a vehicle. You're a vessel of honor made out of clay. That's all you and I are. Lord, fill me. You should pray every morning. Fill me with that living water. Flow from my heart that living water. Then when something bad happens to you, you're not going. Do you remember Wizard of Oz? Everybody remember Wizard of Oz? You know the Yellow Brick Road? Where did Yellow Brick Road end up at? Munchkin Land, didn't it? Remember them guys? Wherever. Where did she go home? She went down. When she went in the little bubble, in the balloon, she was in a little land with all those little people. And the fairy came down the bubble, and she clicked the heels and got in the boat. She woke up anyway. Remember those little guys? That's you when you get mad. Anyway, it's a long story to tell you something. You didn't even get it. But I didn't tell it that good. When your life is doing this, God's living water will say, I'm going to keep your soul nourished. I'm going to keep peace in your heart. He gave us water. Water is everywhere. He says, you know what? I'm everywhere. Water cleanses. I cleanse. Water nourishes. I nourish. Water permeates everything. I permeate everything. Look at your lesson plan. Water cycle is designed. The water cycle on the earth is designed. Turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, please. Isaiah 58, verse 8. I'm sorry, what did I say? 55. Sorry. Actually, it's written right there. Neither I or you can read. I fooled myself. Verse 8 of chapter 55 of Isaiah in the Old Testament of the Bible. At the Rock on Sunday morning. Make sure we all know what we're doing here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Remember that, y'all. When you think something, make sure that it's what God's thinking, because it's probably not if it's your thought. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that I may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. When you have ocean, 2/3 of the earth is ocean, salt water. The salt water evaporates, joins up with dirt particles in the sky. The wind, and make clouds. The wind blows the clouds over the land. And they join with other clouds. And they get real dark. And we go, oh, God, what's he going to do? He's like, I'm giving you water, fool. And then the water comes. Then the water comes down as fresh water. Y'all missed that. Salt water comes up. It goes and joins with dirt particles, and it flows over the land, and God goes right there, okay, they need it, and it comes down as fresh water. He distills it.
Well, that's just it's just a product of evolution. The ecological system just knew it had to do that to still
please. How does water, the wind, have a mind? It doesn't have a mind. God did that. And he had to go up. Now let's watch this. The water comes down, goes in dirt. Now, real quick, my time's running, so I'm going to make this quick. Dirt, oh, I shouldn't say dirt. Dirt's what's in the vacuum cleaner. Soil and earth, different thing. Soil is, if you want to write something in that space, I'll give you this. Decaying rock, plant life, animal life, all decaying and mixing in the ground, water, air. The nutrients, minerals come from the rock. Decaying plants give nutrients. Decaying animals, waste products from animals give nutrients to the ground. Animals, and then animals eat the plants that grow out of the ground. We eat the animals and the plants. What happens is God made this earth with nutrients in it. In the nutrients, in the dirt, is or in the ground, is also air, is also water, is also what they call soil solution, which is water mixed with all the nutrients. The roots go in, they drain all the nutrients out of the soil, and they go into the plant. And then through photosynthesis that we're going to look at in a minute, it makes green plants. We eat the plants. The process goes in a cycle. How did that all happen? God made it that way. Come on. He made it that way. Let's look at the other plant. Photosynthesis. Let's go through this. I know you love chemistry. Above the word photosynthesis, or next to the word photosynthesis, write putting together with light. Putting together with light. Photosynthesis. Now watch this. I talked to you a while ago about how the, I asked you a question, how the water gets to the leaves. Did I tell you that this morning yet? Over the last few weeks, I asked you, how does water get up to the leaves at the top of a tree? It's not from the rain that hits the water, the leaves. I mean, that does happen. I'll explain it to you in the context of this. When you breathe out, our breath, stank breath, that's CO2, okay? That's our waste product. The plant breathes in CO2, okay? It breathes in CO2, so when you go, the plants go, ha. It breathes in CO2, it has water from a thing called a xylem. Matter of fact, if you look in your lesson plan, you can write down water travels up plants through, and write down this word, X-Y-L-E-M, xylem. There's a long word, transpiration, cohesion, tension, mechanism, but we don't get into that. So this little straw, if you ever bite into a celery and go, and you have all those little stringy things, that's xylem. All those things are straws for the leaves at the top. They're cells that died and formed a little straw. And the little leaves at the top are sucking that water up. Now when the leaves in any plant sweat, like you and I sweat, so when the wind blows, the sun beats on it, it sweats so it doesn't dry out. And when the water goes out of the plant, it's connected all the way down to the roots, and it draws all this water up as it goes out continuously like that. And all the hydrogen bond in the water is so has such a strength that it connects all the water, and they just pull this long water all the way up to the thing, and it just sweats it out. Now watch this. You breathe out. The water comes up. The sun, which is energy, beats on the plant. And the plant, through photosynthesis, which happens in this little factory in the leaf, takes the sunlight, and it doesn't need the green band in the sunlight. You know, it's red, orange, yellow, green, but in the sunlight. Well, green it doesn't need. That's why it looks green. Just reflects it out. And it takes the other colors, I think red, blue and red, I believe, wavelength of light, as energy. It takes your breath, the water, and the sunlight, and it makes sugar for its food. Okay, look in your lesson plan. Look at the little chemical formula I got there. Okay, 6CO2, ignore the 6. CO2 is carbon dioxide, di is 2, oxide is oxygen, carbon is a C, plus H2O, which is water, plus sunlight, which is energy. You put all that together, and in this photosynthesis machine in the leaf, and what comes out is sugar, which is CHO, C6H12O6, plus oxygen, O2, and water. So what happens is it takes the sunlight, it takes your breath, and it makes the sugar it needs to eat. And it says, and then when the plant breathes, it's waste. Guess what comes out? Oxygen. So you're breathing, what you think, I need oxygen. The plant's like, do you want that? And water. We don't need CO2. It needs CO2. We need oxygen. It doesn't need oxygen. We both need water, and we both need the sun. And we benefit from when it takes the glucose, makes the glucose, we benefit when we eat the plant because it has energy to do all the other stuff it does. Now, why do plants turn red, brown? It's because when the days get short, the plant somehow knows and photosynthesis stops. It doesn't need, the chlorophyll, which reflects the green light, dies down, minimizes, goes away. And then all of a sudden, now it's reflecting the reds, the yellow, the browns, and the leaves change color. Photosynthesis stops or slows down, and it starts to store the sugar it made during the long days. Now, how does the plant know that? God. How does the plant know that? God. My time has almost run out. Let's go to vegetables. Vegetables, you could just write down all plant life, and I'll explain that in a minute. Fruits, plant ovaries. Plant ovaries. I know, sorry. It's the best way I can explain it real quick. Here's what I mean by that. If you have an apple tree, the apple tree is the vegetable. The apple that has the seeds in it, is the fruit. The apples that have it, and they come from a flower. Fruits come from a flower. When you eat a vegetable, you're eating the plant. I'll give you an example. Potato is the plant. It's not the fruit. The fruit is in, or even like a carrot. A carrot, the orange part, is the plant. The fruit is in the little leaves at the top. That's where the seeds are. Okay? Herbs, you can write down. And these definitions, everything I read, it always says these definitions of fruits and vegetables and herbs are kind of like this. But, so what I told you is what I told you, but you might read something a little bit different. But basically, fruits come from flowers, and vegetables are the plant. Herbs are leaves and, say, non-woody stems that could be used for cooking, seasoning, medicinal purposes. You know what I'm saying? We'll leave it at that. You know what I'm saying, little brother? And thorns. Turn to Genesis 3:18, and we're going to end with this. Thorns. Thorns. Man, I didn't get to tell you about the wasps. I didn't get to tell you about the moths. Pollination. Very quickly, there are butterflies and bees pollinate plants in the day. In the daytime, the plants with many colors and sweet scents blossom when the sun is out. They are attracted to those colors and scents. At night, bats pollinate plants that have a musty, sour smell and a strong stem to support the weight of the bat. Designed that way. If the bats weren't there to pollinate the plants that open up at night, they would die. They wouldn't be able to reproduce and they would cease to exist. If the bees and the birds weren't there to pollinate the plants that open in the day, they would die. They would cease to be able to reproduce. Moths come out at night because they pollinate on plants that open at night. Pale colored plants, plain colored plants, and they come out and pollinate just those plants. They don't open up in the daytime. So if the moths weren't there to pollinate the night plants, they would cease to exist. Grass even has seeds. When you see grass in a field, the seeds are at the top of the grass. This is a trip. The seeds are at the top, or if you will, the sperm of the grass is at the top. And when the wind blows, it blows the pollen off off this grass, and it settles. And the female receptive part of the grass is at the bottom. So when it settles at the bottom, it's pollinated. It's God's got it all designed. You ever wonder how grass grows in the crack of a sidewalk? How did that happen? Because it just blew over there. He said, I'll just hang out over here. I'll be by myself, have my own little. A fig. Figs have their own individual wasps. Wasps. W-A-S-P-S. That pollinate them. And what they do is that they go inside the young fig and insert their egg. And when the egg hatches, it comes out. As it's coming out, it gets the pollen or the sperm of the fig on its body. It comes out, flies to another fig, goes in to lay its egg, and at the same time, it pollinates that fig. Who's a man?
Well, the fig and the wasp, they just figure over millions of years, the wasp just figured out,
please, individual wasps for individual types of figs. Please. There's thorns. Let's go to the thorns. We're going to read this real quick in Genesis 3:18. Don't hurt me now. Verse 12, Genesis 3:12. God said, who made you sin? The man said, the woman whom you gave me. Fellas, that just don't work. Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed from all the more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, and in pain you will bring forth children. Did God do that? You wonder why. Why do I have to hurt and labor? Right there. Right there. It wasn't supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be nice and easy. But no, Eve had all messed up. It is because of Eve. Why are you getting mad at me? I didn't do this. But I can tell you one thing. If God made men have babies, there'd be no babies. There ain't no way. We had killed doctors in the labor. Man, you better give me that medicine right now.
Well, you're not dilated.
Bap! There ain't no way. If you haven't had kids, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You'll figure it out one day. But it's painful. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. To Adam, he said, verse 17, because you have indeed heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Now, it doesn't mean you should never listen to your wife. It means you should never listen to your wife or anybody that contradicts God. Now, many times, your wife is talking for God. But you need to know that, when she is and when she isn't. That's all I'm going to say about that. Verse 17. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you till the ground, for out of it you were taken. Let me tell you something. Whenever you see a thorn, guess why? Sin. Some will say, when I say some scientists will say that a thorn is a deformed or modified branch. But for whatever reason, for whatever you want to call it, it is a result of sin. The earth is cursed. Thistles are because of sin. I personally have evidence of this, would classify weeds and all kinds of stuff that thistles type stuff is a result of sin. The earth is cursed. Look in your lesson plan. Thins make plants difficult to handle. They make plants difficult to handle. It's a symbol of sin and the curse. Sin and the curse. Thorns are compared to fools. They're good for fuel to be thus burned. These are verses that say this. But you know what? In the end, they can write one more down. Write John chapter 19, verse 2. They put thorns in John chapter 19, verse 2. They put thorns on Jesus' head. Sin. symbol of sin. You know what God said? He wants to make everything new if anyone's in Christ. He wants to take the thorns out of your life. We all got thorns and thistles in our life, amen? You know what God says? There's nothing you can do to unravel them. Only I can. I made all this beautiful stuff and it all works together. Matter of fact, there's a little ant that lives in the thorn of an acacia bush. And a little ant lives in there, has its babies in the thorns, and when animals come to eat off the plant, these little ants come out of the thorns and bite the animal to keep the animal away from the plant. They work together. So the plant says, you can live in my thorns, but when someone comes to eat my leaves, I want you to get them. Because my leaves is where I make my sugar. My leaves where I get my energy. So you got to protect my leaves. So you got to kill them. I'll let you live in my thorns. How long did that take? Billions of years? No, God just made it up that way. Just made it that way. I want you to think next week. How does light from a star 100 light years away get here if the earth is only 10,000 years old? There it is. It's proof. It ain't proof of nothing. Let me ask you this question. How old was Adam when he was made? Was he a baby? They got married. He said, Adam, there's Eve. Go ahead, multiply, fill the earth. No, they were grown. Think about it. You know what he said? I'm going to make a tree with seeds, and they're going to reproduce. And it was so, and they did it like that. He made it. He just made it. He says, tree, whoop, sun, boom, star. What do you do? That's the question. I'm not going to tell you now, next week. But I want you to think, when you go out here and you see the plants, you see the ocean, know that more than half the oxygen you breathe comes from the ocean. That 90% of the CO2 in the atmosphere is absorbed by the ocean. The ocean. The ocean's going. That nighttime, when the sun goes down, all the day bugs and creatures go to bed and the night creatures come out. The creeps come out at night. And then when the sun comes up, the night creeps go to bed and the day creeps come out. Why? Because there's day plants that need day creeps and there's night plants that need night creeps. Are you a day creep or a night creep? You walk in the light of the darkness. Hey, what are you doing? You got to decide. No, I'm a day creep. Because I live according to the light of the Lord. And that light shines 24/7. Why? Because that light doesn't need the sun, because it was created before the sun. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, you are so awesome. You are incredible. Lord, there's so much irreducible, complex issues. Symbiotic relationships, interdependent relationships in everything you made, from the water to the sun, to the birds, to the bugs, to the creeps, to the dirt, to the plants, to the flowers, to the seeds, to the moon, to the tide, to the wind, to the clouds, lightning. It all is together. The size of the earth being so perfect to keep all the gases that we need to live. Not too big, not too small. The sun giving us a day and a night, the moon to give us a lesser light in the nighttime so we can at least see something. Lord, how could anybody look at all of that and say, accident, chaos, random choice, no intelligent creator, no forethought, no planning, nothing that beautiful and coordinated ever happens without someone coordinating. Lord, there's so many people here today. They may consider themselves a night creep. They come out at night when the night flowers bloom. When the bats are flying around, the moths are looking for plants. When the plants with limited flowers or colors are blooming, the pale plants, the plain looking plants. But Lord, they want to be in the daytime. They want to walk in the light. And they don't want their light to be dependent on something artificial like the sun. They want a 24-hour light. Jesus. If today you're saying, you know what, I want to walk in the light. I want to be a daytime creep, creeping on the ground. I want to be a daytime creature, seeing what God wants me to see. being able to enjoy all the beautiful, colorful variety of things he made, the beautiful, colorful plans he has for my life. I want to walk in his light. I don't want to walk in the darkness. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want him to take the thorns off my heart. I want him to clean the thistles out of my life. And I know he died just to do that, and he rose from the dead to prove he had the power to do it. And today I want him to forgive me. If that's you, and you're saying today I want Jesus to forgive me of my sin, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. There are thorns in my life, spiritual thorns. I believe Jesus died with thorns on his head. He was buried, had the thorns taken off, and then he rose. And I believe he loves me, and he lives to take my thorns away. Jesus, please forgive me. Please come live in my heart. Fill me with that living water. Cleanse me with that living water. Consume me with that living water. Protect me with that living water. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand, give your life to Christ, acknowledge your life is in Christ. If you prayed that prayer, you just acknowledge to God, God, I've been living in thorns and thistles, but I want to get out. You acknowledge that he is the only one that can untangle you from that, set you free. So right now, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin, please be my Savior, right now just stand to your feet. No matter where you're sitting, in the lobby, in this room, God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. If you're in the Casa Royale, stand. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Congratulations. God has spoken to you. You knew coming in here you needed Jesus. Stand to your feet. You didn't need me to talk for 45 minutes. You were waiting for the end. Anybody else? God bless you. Good. We're going to wait. This is the most important decision. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Congratulations. Very good. Congratulations. Very good. A small, still voice has said, you, I want you to give your life to me. Anybody else? Congratulations. Very good. If you heard that voice, it wasn't me. It wasn't your conscience. It was God. Your conscience is sinful, just like my conscience is sinful. But the Holy Spirit, he spoke to you. Answer him. Anybody else? Give your life. God bless you. Good. Now we're going to do one more thing for all you who are standing. We want to encourage you, congratulate you. We're going to ask you now to step out of your seat and come down here to the altar. And let's clap for them as they come on down here right now. Come on. Right here. Right here. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. Say hi to your sister and your brother. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there. Amen. Come on, let's give him. Who's a man this morning? God bless you. Who's a man? Who's a man? What's up, little man? What's up, little man? How you doing? How you doing? The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God wants to now do a new thing in your life. He wants to take all the thorns out, all the confusion. And he wants to tell you now, here's what I want you to do. Your only job is so simple but so hard. Simply obey. This book is what he gave us. If he did all that, he can write a book. Don't doubt the book. It's true. Don't believe all that. No, it's true. He made these. Actually, these are fake, but he made these. We ain't want to gossip, but he made this stuff. He made the sun. He made water. He made everything. He made you more important than anything, any of all that. All of y'all are more important to God than all the other stuff. When you see that webpage up there in a minute, I want to encourage you. I know it's going to be long. Write it down and look on the internet. Go on our webpage also and get this webpage. Look at what he made in the sky. As beautiful and as huge as they are. I mean, you're going to see a picture to say it's 100 light years from this, from one end of the picture to the other. As big as and magnificent as all that. You know what he says? You are more important to me than that. That's just stuff for us to go, wow. That's it. He made that so we can go, wow. And we could also go, whoever did that is a bad brother. That's the other reason he put it up there. He wanted us to see how bad he was. And he says, if I could do all of that, and if the universe is immeasurable, imagine how much love I have for you is immeasurable. That's what it's all for. Lord, we pray for these people. We pray that they would tap into that unlimited power, love. Lord, your love and your forgiveness is unfathomable. We can't even fathom with our mind. Our mind is so finite, limited. You say you would take our sin and separate it as far as the east is from the west. We don't even know how far that is, but we know it's far. It's endless. You can just keep on going. It'll take forever to get to the end. And then another forever to get back. That's two forevers. How long is that? Forever. Lord, you've known these people since before the foundations of the earth. You knew them before their grandmother was born. Their great-grandmother. You knew them and you had a plan. Today that plan begins on a whole new level. Their feet now is on rock. Out of the miry clay onto rock. And I pray today would be the beginning of an amazing, supernatural, unexplainable journey for them. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We're going to ask all you to walk to that man right there, make a left. He's going to give you something. If you want prayer, we have people up here who want to pray with you. Come on up, get the website, and check it out. God bless you. See you next week.